And we have a wonderful eternity to look forward to. So guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is A Glimpse of Heaven. A Glimpse of Heaven. I can't think of a better topic to focus on for a few moments than heaven. You know, often if you have, like me, asked people, do you think you'll go to heaven? And almost the automatic response is universal. If you ask somebody, are you going to heaven one day? They almost always will respond the same way. Well, I hope so. It's interesting that people don't know. And it's sad that that they don't know the answer, the truth, that we hold and that we have and that we cherish. And when you ask someone that question, it often leads to follow-up questions. I often ask the second question. I ask people, well, has anyone ever taken the time in your life to explain to you from the Bible how to go to heaven? And often, of course, the answer is, well, no. And then my next statement is, that's too bad. Walk away. And oftentimes it does spark a question from them asking, well, could you show me or do you know what the Bible says about going to heaven? Wonderful lead-in for an opportunity to witness. But heaven is a great subject. And we ought to think about it more than we do. We ought to be thankful for it more than we are. It ought to be a joy of our lives. It ought to be something that we learn to focus on a regular basis. If you have a problem with being discouraged, if you have a little issue sometimes with being down in the dumps, just start thinking about heaven. And it will lift our spirits. It will give us great joy and wonderful uplifting spirit. As a matter of fact, the Lord wants us to know about heaven. Now, He doesn't give us a lot of information about it, but what He gives us is all good news. As a matter of fact, He wants us to know that we're on our way there. And in 1 John chapter 5, He says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God has given to each of us who have received Christ as our Savior eternal life in heaven. Now think about that for just a second. I want to see how it affects your face. You're not thinking. Can you resist a smile on your face when you think about heaven? Let me ask you this question. How many of us have friends and loved ones already there? Can I see your hand? How great is it going to be to join them and rejoice in that wonderful reunion with those that have gone before us and are there because of the same reason we will be there, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. Heaven is a wonderful thing. Of course, we talk a lot about how we get there and the process of salvation, and that's good that we do so. We need to spread that gospel news. But it's also important for us to know something about heaven and to contemplate on it occasionally and to allow it to be an encouragement to our life. I know you're facing some difficult days ahead. I know the semester is at the point where everything's weighing on you, and there's midterms and there's grades and there's finances due and other things that student life has nothing to do about. There are other things. But set all that aside for a moment and step back and take a look at a bigger picture. Take a look past the end of this semester, past the end of your Maranatha career, past the end of your work life, past the end of your retirement days. Take a look past life on earth and look at what God has prepared for us. Eternal life in heaven. You know, the fact is, we probably don't know enough about heaven. And we know enough to whet our appetite. We know enough to give us some encouragement. But there's a lot that we don't know about heaven. I think God reveals or keeps it from us for a reason. He gives us enough to whet our appetite, but we need to learn a little more. There are over 500 references about heaven in the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever read through the Bible looking for references of heaven or studied those. It'd be a great system of personal devotions, I think. It'd be an encouraging time. But, you know, here in John chapter 14, this passage people often turn to as an authoritative look at heaven. I have preached from this passage hundreds of times, I'm sure, in my ministry at a funeral, and trying to encourage people about the truth of heaven. And it's a joy to think about what it is like. You know, did you ever have a bad day? How many of you have ever had a bad day? Can I see your hand? How many of you think you're starting off on one today? Got a few. All right, my heart's out, goes out to you. Disciples were having a bad day. And in this passage, just to set the context a little bit, here's part of the bad day the disciples were having. First of all, the Lord Jesus tells them that he's going to be betrayed by one of them in chapter 13. He gives that information to them, and they begin to look around and say, well, not me, it's you, and begin to question who that might be. And then he gives some information about Peter, telling Peter that he's going to deny the Lord. So we have a betrayal and a denial. Somebody's having a bad day. But that's not all. Then Jesus tells them that he is leaving them. Look back to chapter 13, and let's just notice the context a little bit in verse number 33. And it says, little children, yet a little while, let a little while I am with you, and ye shall see me and say unto you, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. He's telling them he's going away and they can't come. They're not going to be able to follow him. And Peter says, wait, I'll follow you anywhere. And that's when the Lord tells him, no, Peter, you don't understand. You're going to deny me three times. And that's why Thomas in chapter 14 asks the question, I don't know. We don't know where you're going. We don't understand all this. Well, where are you headed? And so Jesus decides, I want to give you some good news. I want to brighten your day. If you're having a bad day, here's something good to think about heaven. I want to share with you just a few facts that we find here about heaven. And here's the first thing we notice about heaven. It's a place. Did you know that it's a real place? Notice what Jesus said in verse number 2 of chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare for you a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, it's a real place. Now, people have these weird ideas about what heaven is like. I don't know if you have ever watched Star Trek and you've been to the outer worlds. I know when Matt was young at home, we used to watch Star Trek a lot together. He and I, my wife cannot stand anything that's not realistic. She's no fun to have in the room when you're watching Star Trek because her comments are always the same. Oh, that couldn't happen. Well, there's no way that people can look like that. That's not true. So science fiction is way beyond her ability to appreciate and comprehend and enjoy. But some of us, you know, you might have that wild imagination and you thought about what heaven is like. And some people have the idea that heaven is a place where you float around on a cloud and you play your harp or guitar or whatever. Which way is it? It's this way, isn't it? I don't know. I'm not real good at air guitar. I need some lessons, I guess. But people have these wild ideas of what heaven is like and where it is. And there's all kinds of speculation and debate about, is it going to be large enough for everyone to fit? And all those kinds. What is the shape of it? Is it horizontal or is it a pyramid shape? Well, who cares? It's a place. It's a real place. As a matter of fact, when Paul was taken up into the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, he couldn't distinguish if it was a different place or if it was an earth place. He said, I can't tell if I'm in the body or out of the body. It was familiar enough that he seemed to fit right in. And I think that heaven is a place that is a real, tangible, just like earth with three dimensions. It's got things in it, you know, plants and people, and it's a wonderful place, but it is a real place. It's not some imaginary thing. It's not something that's just often someone's wild idea. It is a real, tangible place. And Jesus promised that he was going to this place. What a wonderful thing for it is for us to realize that how he describes it. Notice in verse number 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. What a wonderful description of heaven. God's house. He says, in my Father's house. Now I realize that we all come from diverse backgrounds and we don't share the details about our home like everybody else. But in my upbringing, I came from a very loving home. My parents were not Christians when I was young. We didn't go to church. I didn't hear the gospel. But I came from a very loving home. I have four brothers. There's five boys, and there's no girls in our family. Praise the Lord. And it was a very tight-knit group, and we still are, even as adults. I have one brother that's in heaven, and my three brothers and I are very close-knit. We love each other. We would do anything for each other. It was just a wonderful thing. And to come home meant to relax, to be accepted, to be loved, to enjoy the camaraderie, to enjoy the peaceful surroundings. Now, I know from time to time there was the, you know, tension between my parents and I because I was a teenager. And if you went through the teenage years, you probably are still experiencing that, maybe some of you. But it was still a place where there was great comfort. Now, my mother passed away when I was 15. Which was not a very pleasant experience. But prior to that, as I would come home as an elementary youngster, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she would cook and had wonderful meals prepared and dessert and all those kinds of things. It always smelled good in our house, and it was always clean and neat and orderly, and she had everything always clean as far as our clothing and stuff. Home was a great place. And even the very word home conjures up those images of peaceful surroundings. And that's exactly the idea that Jesus is portraying here as he uses the phrase, my Father's house, home. I hope home has a positive connotation for you. If you did not grow up in a home that did have that kind of a pleasant, wonderful, loving atmosphere, you have even more to look forward to in heaven because that's what awaits you. And what a joy it is to contemplate the future in this place that God has prepared for us. A place where we are cared for and we are protected, where we are accepted, our Father's house. So the first thing we notice is it's a place. Second thing we notice, it's peaceful. In verse number 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, that's a great phrase. The word trouble means to be anxious, to be worried, to be upset, to be fearful. And he says there's no reason for us to live with that kind of anxious spirit. There's no reason for us to have that kind of fearfulness about the future, especially when it comes to our eternal future. He doesn't want us to be upset and worried about anything. As a matter of fact, that's a whole other message on worry. We'll talk about that maybe someday. But the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, if the Lord tells us to not to do something, we ought to follow His command. So when you find yourself upset and worried and frustrated and anxious and all in a tizzy, you know, and you got something in a wad that shouldn't be in a wad, you know what I'm talking about. Remember what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Heaven is a place that's worry-free. Heaven is a place of peace. No hostilities, no conflict, no confrontation. It is a place where there is wonderful harmony. You know, I often contemplate and compare church to heaven. It's not a very exact comparison, but it's close as we have perhaps here on earth, where people come together from different walks of life. And they meet together because of a common bond they have, the faith and love for Jesus Christ, and that's what brings them together. By the way, that's what brings us together here as well, right? And this is a taste of heaven. And what a joyful thing it is to be among people who love the Lord, people that are part of God's family. And the Lord says, hey, don't be troubled. This is a place of great tranquility, of great peace. Believe, trust in the Lord. And trust, Jesus says, trust the Father, believe in God, believe and trust in me. Ah, this is a great place. I wonder, when is the last time you just sat alone and thought about heaven? Thought about all the ramifications of heaven. How you were brought to a place of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord is preparing for you. What He's done for you. Of course, you realize if you were the only sinner in all the world that ever lived in history, Jesus would still have died for you, and you would still have the opportunity for a home in heaven. And the tranquility and the peace of heaven is going to be of such a welcome relief from the tension that we have on earth. You know, we're not always well received as believers on earth, and there's not always, people don't always like what good Christians do, and that's true in lots of different realms and areas. But in heaven, we will not be ridiculed. In heaven, we'll not be attacked. In heaven, we'll have no one that is anti-us. There'll be no conflict. What a blessing it is to think about the peacefulness of it. But I want you to see also verse number 2 is perfect. It says in verse number 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Now, I know there's a lot of controversy about the word mansions used in the King James Version. If you have a different version, it might be translated rooms. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a choice between living in a room or living in a mansion, I think that's closer to where I'd like to stay. The idea of the word, obviously, is that it's an open space. It's a welcoming home. It is a place of lasting tranquility. The idea of the mansion is that it doesn't go away. It's a prepared place. It's an abiding place. It's comfortable. It's long-term. Wide open space, sort of like. Wow, when you think about heaven and a home there for you, whoo, that's pretty cool. I'm sure it'll be better than your dorm room. Regardless of what dorm you live in, it'll be better than our homes here that we've ever lived in. My wife and I have lived in like 4 or 5 different houses in our married lifetime, and it'll be better than any of those. Heaven, the mansion, the prepared, the perfectness of it. What makes it perfect is not the edifices. It is not the surroundings. The perfectness of heaven is capsulized in the fact that there is no sin in heaven. That it is a perfect place. There is no suffering. We'll all be changed, as 1 Corinthians tells us, that our bodies will be changed, our sinful nature will be removed, and there will be nothing but harmony between us and everyone else that's there in heaven, regardless of their time of life they lived on earth. What a wonderful thing to think about. It is perfect. Our bodies will be perfect. You won't need glasses. You won't have any fillings in your teeth. You won't have any maladies of any kind. We won't. I made a mistake one time. I was preaching. I said, "There won't be any doctors in heaven." And I had a doctor approach me later and said, "Excuse me, Pastor, but I think there are going to be doctors." I said, "Yes, but you won't be practicing." Why do they call it practicing medicine anyway? Are they trying to get better at it? I don't understand that word. What a joy. We won't need any of that. You know, I am sure that I am closer to heaven, if statistics hold true. I am closer to heaven than anyone in this room, perhaps. I'm looking forward to it. Because I have developed, in my advanced age, a few little aches and pains. You know, there's these little things that kind of hinder us when you get old and decrepit like me. And those will not be a part of heaven. Maybe you have such a issue physically. Maybe you're plagued with something along that line. Wouldn't you long to be free of that and have it no more? What a blessing it is to think of this perfect surrounding, this perfect place. No suffering, no sin. Hebrews tells us it's a rest. Whoa! Did you hear that? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. How many of you could use a little rest? You know, like an eternity of rest. You know, I'm sure you're thinking, the first 1,000 years, I'm just going to sleep, you know, just to catch up. That's all I'm going to do. That's fine. That's great. You deserve it. It is a place where there is no suffering. There is no anxiety. There is no fatigue. There is no night. So you have to wear those mask things if you want to get some sleep. What a blessing to think about how great and grand heaven really is. But I want you to notice something else about heaven. It's prepared. Notice how Jesus phrased when he was speaking about his Father's house and the mansions there. And he says, I go and prepare a place. Look at the last two words in verse 2. For you. Wait a minute. What did he mean? Was this a collective mass preparation? No. It's an individualized preparation. He is making it and preparing it and personalizing it just for you. God is thinking about you. By the way, did you know that you are very special to the Lord? And that He's thinking about you right now. He knows your circumstances. He knows the issues that are on your plate. He understands that. He is thinking about you. And He is answering prayers specifically that you have asked. He cares about us as individuals, not as a group or as a mass. Now, I have 3 children, and I can tell you this. I don't think of each of them the same. I have 2 sons and a daughter. I mean, the sons are great, but I have a daughter. I don't think of all my children as the same. And, when they were young, one time they were all teenagers at home, and the sons would ask for things, and no, you can't do that. The daughter would ask for something. Well, sure, why not? I mean, here, need a little more? Here's this. I'm just kidding. He's sitting there shaking his head. My sons had this little thing that they would do when they thought I was playing favorites with my daughter. They would do this. And it was a little signal telling me they think that she's got me wrapped around her little finger. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that, right? I think that's a good... Right, girls? How many think that's a good idea? Yeah. You probably have the same relationship with your dad. Call him and thank him. Just tell him how much you love him today. Wait for the check in the mail tomorrow, okay? It's such a wonderful, perfect place. A place of rest. A place of harmony. A place where there is no dissension or sin or suffering. And it's a prepared place. Personalized specifically just for you. By the way, did you ever think about this? What would you like in your heavenly home? If it's personalized for you, what color do you want it to be? What kind of floor covering are you thinking about? What do you want in the backyard? 18 holes golf course would be nice, you know, maybe a fishing street. I don't know. I'm telling you this, whatever you would need to be happy, that's exactly what you're going to have. Of course, when we get to heaven, our happy need will change. But God says, I'm preparing it for you. And it is a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, the reservations are already clearly made. Philippians 4:3 says that our names are in the book of life. And Luke 10:20 says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I have an interesting thing. When I go on the road and I travel, I usually stay at Comfort Inns and Suites, a part of a Choice Motel chain. And I have this little card. And this is really cool. It says, Elite Gold Choice Member. So when I make my reservation, I put my number in there, and when I walk up to the counter, I give them my name, and they say, oh, Mr. Davis, we've been expecting you. It's good to have you here. And they give me a little snack, and they give me a newspaper, and it's really wonderful to have that special treatment. Like they just can't wait for me to get there. Yeah, right. But it's okay. When you get to heaven, they're going to be waiting for you. The reservation's already made, and you will be welcomed in. What a joyful thing it is. And you don't have to wait, because it's prepared for you now. It's available. And that's the next thing I want you to notice, that it's present. It's now. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You and I acknowledged a moment ago that we have loved ones that are no longer here. They've died. And where are they? They're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Where's the Lord? Heaven. Wherever the Lord is, it's heaven. And what a wonderful thing to think about, that we don't have to wait. There's no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. There's no time of waiting for something else to happen. We are immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. And there we have a home established forever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I understand he may be referencing here the rapture when the Lord Jesus will come and snatch us away. And by the way, could that happen today? Yeah, it could. I think that would be really great. The only people I know of that would not want the Lord Jesus to return today are engaged couples. I remember dreading that period of time, you know, in my life when I was engaged. Not now, Lord, you know. Just give it a little while, will you? What a beautiful thing. And it doesn't matter if we meet Him through rapture or through death. To be in His presence will be heaven. By the way, either one of those things could happen today. This may be my last day. The Lord has numbered my days as He's numbered yours. I don't know how many that is or when the last one will arrive. But I know that God has a wonderful home prepared, and it's present. And here's another wonderful fact about heaven. It's permanent. It's permanent. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing to think about. As long as there is a God, there is heaven. 1 John 5:11, as we read a moment ago, eternal life. When does that stop? Never. It's eternal, folks. It's forever and ever 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 and ever. Shall I go on? And ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends. It's permanent. Beyond our sense of permanent, you think that the class you're taking now or you're suffering through, you think it's going to last forever. It's not. It comes to an end. You may have to repeat it, but there will be an end inside. Not so with heaven. It is forever. But here is a wonderful closing thought. Heaven is paid for. And it's not because of your efforts. It's not paid for by your goodness. It's not paid for because you did more good things than bad things. It's not paid for because you have earned crowns and rewards in heaven. Heaven is not a reward. It's not given to you because you did thus and so. Heaven is paid for by the precious payment of the blood of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there couldn't be anything more precious. 1 John 2 says that, and He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' death on the cross and the shedding of His blood was sufficient to cover the sins of every person in this room, every person in this state, every person alive now, every person who has ever been or ever will be alive. And when we trusted Jesus Christ and received Him as our personal Savior and repented of our sin and turned only to Him as our hope of heaven, He gave us the wonderful gift. He welcomed us into His family. And we are honored to say, my home in heaven, Jesus bought by His death and His wonderful resurrection. Jesus paid it all. Think about that. All the horrendous sin that we have committed and all of the punishment we rightly deserve, He took upon Himself. Not just the physical anguish of the cross and the crown and the spear. Not just that. But to be separated from His Heavenly Father. And then to die alone. But of course, you know, He didn't stay dead. And as He arose victorious and as He ascended up into the heavens, what a blessing it is to know that that powerful God is the one who paid my price. It's not by my works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Heaven. Let's think about it today. I wonder if you could think of a song that you could put in your brain, get stuck there all day. You ever have that happen? Oh, that part of a song just keep repeating over. Give a song about heaven today. Think about it. Contemplate about it. Take a moment and thank the Lord that you have a home in heaven. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to You for allowing us a way to heaven. And Jesus said in that passage that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that none of us come to the Father except through Him. Thank You, Father, that You have shown us and led us by Your direction to understand the gospel message and have given us the opportunity to place our individual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, now we rejoice collectively as Your children in the wonderful joy and anticipation of heaven. And Lord, we look forward to that time. But until then, help us to show our appreciation to You. Help us to show our gratitude by how we live. And Jesus said, if You love Me and keep My commandments, help us, Lord, to go and do that today. Because You are a wonderful God. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.